Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. And plenty going on. Trump is tweeting again. You know, the media needs to distinguish between the tweeting Trump and the working Trump. You know, I find that it would be interesting to see just how much time is spent. You know, this ought to be done. They ought to look into this. How much coverage is given to Trump's tweets? Because, you know, there's all this talk back and forth about, oh, it's so unpresidential. You can't tweet. He needs to holster his Twitter. He's got to put that thing away. Got to get off of social media and start acting like a real president. And then the other answer is, of course, you know, hey, look, this is a unique way of connecting directly with people. But also, it is a unique way of poking the hornet's nest that is the drive-by media. Because that's exactly what this is. Hey, you guys over there, you media pontificators, you have not figured out what this is. You don't get it. I mean, some of you, I guess, do use Twitter as a real way of getting out some of your exact real thoughts, and you try to get deep. But really, it's when you've got a limited number of characters, it's a great way to put out a slightly tongue-in-cheek, a slightly farcical, you know, play on words and a humorous take. It's not meant to be a deep thing. And for all of you going, well, hey, you know, I mean, he's going to tweet something when he's president, and he's going to send the stock market into a nosedive, or he's going to start a nuclear war. Look, other people are figuring out, and the marketplace is figuring out what you haven't, which is that these tweets can be, well, they are what they are. Yes, he's connecting with people. And people are responding to it. And he's cutting all you media types right out of it. Well, the best example is this latest bit with the spy stuff. Have you heard about this? The great spy shakeup. I mean, Wall Street Journal did a piece on it today. And a couple of noteworthy things from all of this. So it started with the Trump tweet where he blasted the CIA and the intelligence agencies and called them bloated and irrelevant. And he was particularly incensed by this report that he was supposed to get a briefing. He said, I think, right before New Year's that he was going to talk to the American public and tell us, you know, what was going on with this Russian hacking stuff. And he said he was getting a briefing. And now Trump claims that that briefing was delayed. Now people in the CIA and in these intelligence agencies apparently are furiously reporting back to MSNBC and CNN and others, including the Washington Post, that was always scheduled. The meeting was always scheduled for Friday. So there's some dispute there. And maybe they're right, maybe they're not. But the real thing that Trump then, when you get into the details, is starting to go through, and it's interesting because he's looking at how many agencies are there, by the way. You know, we've talked about this spying, this Russian hacking business, and everybody in the media is reporting about these 17 intelligence agencies, and you've heard it. They're all saying, well, if these 17 agencies are all saying that the Russians did it, who is Donald Trump to doubt them? And I'm listening to it, you know, with my libertarian skeptical ear. And I hear 17 government agencies and my innards get all twisted up into bunches. Because I think we're paying for that. And maybe, just maybe, you know, when we had all those problems with, 9/11. I mean, whoopsie daisy, you know, didn't connect any of the dots there. Maybe, just maybe, having too many agencies and then having to have all these layers of bureaucracy that coordinate between these agencies. This person to talk to that person to talk to the other person. I mean, it's enough to make your head spin. And I was talking to a friend. I won't name him, but I was talking to a friend who has worked in the system. I'll put it this way. And he took issue. It's interesting because he took issue with the call that these people are political in the sense that they're partisan. And you've heard that charge leveled by Trump and many conservatives saying that, you know, the NSA and the, you know, and you've got and the CIA and the you know, DIA and all these, you know, alphabet soup people are all national security team. They're all partisan. They're biased. You know, they have whatever. They're Democrats. And so they're helping Obama to the detriment of Trump and the Republicans. So he says it's less that and more a question. And this is interesting. More a question of internal politics that are a problem. The kind of stuff, you know, like the water cooler BS that you deal with at your job. You know, I want the corner office and I have my seniority over this guy and I want to get promoted to here. And if I don't get promoted over to there, then I'm going to throw a fit and I'm not going to do my job. And I was listening to him tell me all this stuff. And I thought I've really got to share this with you because it's we think of the CIA from, you know, we think of like Harrison Ford, right? We think of Harrison Ford in Clear and Present Danger. And we think of this good guy, you know, and he's going in there and he's rolling his sleeves up. And we totally forget that there were even in that gloriously oversimplified depiction of what working in the intelligence community is like, there were douchebags. Remember? Any movie, right? I mean, what was that guy's name? It doesn't matter. But he had there was a foil. There was the overly eager climber who was always throwing sticks and stones under the feet of the guy that was trying to do the good thing. And the point is, whether it's just a case of life imitates art, it happens. And it is absolutely, and I've not just heard this from one source, by the way. These intelligence agencies are a mess, and they are overbloated. They're infested with a bunch of hanger-ons and parasites. These are all people that went to the colleges on the East Coast, you know, all the fancy schools, which we've now learned, you know, are populated by professors, liberal professors outnumber conservatives by 27-1. That just came out today from an independent group that reviews colleges and college life. 27-1. So these guys all go to these ivory tower. I'm not going to say all Ivy League, but certainly ivory tower institutions. And they come out of it and they are here to save all of us rubes from how stupid we are. And it does matter. It does matter what your bias is when it comes to perceiving and filtering and analyzing intelligence. It does matter. Because maybe, just maybe, if you are a CIA analyst that has gone to, you know, George Washington University in D.C. and has had, you know, 100 liberal professors and maybe 3.5 conservative ones, when it comes to, you know, I don't know, hearing about this new group called, what was it, ISIS? And hearing that they're really, you know, religious and they're really good, you know, Muslim guys and they're very orthodox and all that. Maybe you're listening to that going, hey, well, these guys aren't a threat. They're good. You know, and next thing you know, we've underestimated ISIS. Now, if this doesn't sound familiar, this happened. We underestimated ISIS. The CIA underestimated ISIS. And do you know how we know that? We know that because Obama told us so. That's right. We've all forgotten this. A few years back, Obama held a press conference, says, you know, well, we kind of got misled by the CIA, really underestimated the ISIS threat. And everyone in the media said, that's right. Oh, okay. All right. Wow. That's plausible. Back then, I didn't hear CNN complaining that how dare the president undermine the agencies, undermine the hardworking men and women who work in the intelligence field. How dare he No. None of that. So it is select outrage when it comes to this, you know, when it comes to anything that Trump does, but specifically to this latest news of Trump insisting he wants to pare down these bureaucratic nightmares that are the, whatever, 16, 17 different agencies that comprise our intelligence community. The charge leveled at him is, how dare you? What, you idiot? How dare you undermine our intelligence community thus? It's so absurd. I mean, it doesn't, does it pass the think test? I don't know. It doesn't for me. So, you know, and the best part is watching these pontificators on CNN kind of, you know, scratch their heads about this. So they're, you know, this, so Anderson Cooper today had a great, was great. He did this thing. He was, you know, he had some guy on who was a retired agent or whoever, and who had some inside information about what was going on in these in these debriefing meetings, or these meetings where Trump is being given intelligence briefings. And by the way, you've got to picture this, right? If you're a lib and you're a major Trump hater, the thing that absolutely makes you get the vapors is the idea of Trump getting an intelligence briefing. I mean, trust me, these people are just, the idea of Trump now having, it just gets them so angry. So they're already, you can tell on the, I'm just giving you the preface here, because I've got, they're already pissed about that. And then I think Anderson Cooper asked a really good question, because remember when I was talking to you about the difference between the tweets and the substance, and I said you've got to get over the fact that the tweeting Trump is not the substantive Trump, and that you've got to understand the difference between the two. Anderson Cooper actually asks this. He asks something along the lines of, he goes, well, you know, is the Trump that's in the meeting, is he different than the tweeting Trump? And this is what the answer was.
We hear from intelligence officials that the Trump that you see on Twitter is one thing, but that in those briefings, those presidential daily briefings, which he's getting not every day, but several times a week, the Trump is more deferential. He asks, you know, substantive questions in those briefings. He's not berating them in private. It's just that then in public, he dismisses them, and it's difficult for them to rectify what is the true Trump.
Well, I'm a little confused. If these are our intelligence officials on whom we're relying for to obtain reliable information about what the F is going on in the world, could it be that maybe, for starters, they could figure out the difference between farcical Trump on Twitter and the real Trump that they're getting in the meeting? Is that too much to ask for? You know, God... It's absurd. I mean, this is the real lament. These are our best and brightest, and we've been hearing now for weeks about how much these people deserve our respect, and they, you know, we can't. I mean, who is Trump? And you know, Lindsey Graham. These 17 agencies all told us one thing about Russia. And Trump is taking the word of Snowden or Assange. Wait, it was Assange, right? It was, you know, the WikiLeaks guy, because, you know, Trump's saying, look, WikiLeaks is saying that what? They didn't get the stuff from Russia. Now, I'm with Senator Graham to the point that I don't trust anything Assange says either. But are we discounting stuff unnecessarily? Are we believing, and by we, I mean, is the intelligence community taking very basic, you know, fragmented information and just buying it hook, line, and sinker and selling it, repackaging it to the president as a fait accompli, as a here we go, here we know? And of course, the larger issue is that they can't even figure out when Trump is serious, and they're whining behind the scenes about it. So here's the thing. In the last 8 years, our debt has increased 125%. If this was a business, we'd be out of business, period. So I'm really glad. I'm actually heartened. I think you don't necessarily get more in a business organization or in a government, for that matter, by having more people. There's that thing. I mean, your mom or your teacher or somebody has told you at some point, less is more, honey. Well, I got news for you. That's what this is. And it's encouraging, and it ought to be encouraging to you, even if you're a Democrat, to see our government become more efficient. It should be. So I'll give you one sign of that, by the way, in D.C. It has to do with house prices. We'll talk more about this when we get back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
There's life in the ground.
I don't usually like to collect and dwell on old news, except when the opportunity arises to, well, remind ourselves of something that's important now. Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. I remember over the summer there was a number of news stories that came out about median home prices. They tend to always come out that time of year. And one of the things that came out was where Washington, D.C. ranked. Now, this year it climbed to number 8, but the interesting thing, and I went back in my stack of stuff to go and refresh my memory on this, but the article that was by Zero Hedge went on to say that the home prices, and it tracks all these trends that were going on all over the country, but It went on to say that between 2012 and 2014, when other cities across America were just kind of tanking, you probably remember, value of your house, you're like, well, while we were suffering here, Washington, D.C. was skyrocketing. I mean, that was the place to be. You could basically make the most money investing in real estate there. Now, why? Because that was the period of great Obama expansion of government. So while, we're suffering and, our state is going belly up over here and, and certainly I live in Orange County and I remember what home prices were doing around that time. Guess where it was going gangbusters? In the Capitol. Because Obama and his cronies were all busy building the bloat of the government. That same bloat that, we're talking about it here with Trump daring to suggest that we might pare down some of these 17 different intelligence agencies that all do different things, and we spend all this money, time, effort, and energy, these built-in inefficiencies to, talk amongst each other, coordinate on things, go back and forth. You don't have to be an intelligence community insider to know that this system has got to be a nightmare. But you see, if you said that to someone, they would poo-poo you. They'd say, "Well, you can't say that. You don't know any. Oh, you're just a. You don't know anything," and that's kind of what they're telling Trump. So, but it is interesting. You've got the narrative gets a little bit confusing when it comes to the media and how they want to portray this. I want to deliver a healthy amount of skepticism, and I'm always skeptical of government. I'm always skeptical of huge bureaucracies because I recognize their innate inefficiency. But I also you know, I also am always skeptical of the criticisms that go either way. And so on one hand, you know, I see the effort to pare down these agencies, and then I see Trump, what he's, you know, his rhetoric on the subject. And then I see the rhetoric against Trump, which is, well, you know, I can't even say it with a straight face. He's a Russian stooge. It's an effective coup d'etat. He's Putin's man, going to be Putin's man in Washington. He's going to, what else? You know, whatever. He's going to dismantle the intelligence communities. He's going to take away these agencies so that the Putin Trojan horse can ride right in. And I mean no offense to all the great USC fans out there. I'm just, that was a historical reference. Now, you look no further. Always out of time here, but we got, you know, I want to talk about some of his appointments. Because these appointments, everybody's talking about Tillerson, you know, T-Rex, Tillerson. It's T-Rex backwards, right? Rex Tillerson. Should be T-Rex. Anyway, we'll call him that. Now you know. You're in on the jargon. But I want to, you know, there's, when it comes to the CIA and when it comes to national security, he's picked hawks. He's picked people that I don't, you know, frankly, in some respects, I have concerns with on a civil liberties side. They're almost too far, in my opinion, in their efforts to expand the powers of our intelligence. So all this criticism of Trump is and him dismantling the system is just, it's rubbish. That's what it is. And you know what's not rubbish? John Wolf on the news. And that's who we have next. John, take it away.
Thank you. KABC News live and local at 7:30. I was totally sucked in by that and surprised. This is John Wolf. Remember WikiLeaks? Of course you do. Donald Trump is siding with the founder of WikiLeaks.
You have $10 million to give people who are here illegally, who broke the law,
to get into this country. But you don't have enough money to fix the sidewalks that connect buildings.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio. 790 KABC.
Oh, if you want a good laugh, listen to a Texan pronounced croissant. Sam Nation, Sam Berjofsky here, Talk Radio 790 KBC. Okay. Poor Trump. The Trumpster is under attack from every angle. And for me, this is an interesting exercise in just, you know, the absurdity of media coverage, if nothing else. Because yes, yeah, so we're talking about the spy, you know, the Trump's threat to pare down the spy agencies, to reduce some bureaucratic bloat. Now, by the way, wasn't this a campaign promise? I mean, last I checked, presidents, we like politicians who keep their promises. So for the Trump base, you got to understand this, for the Trump base. And the people that voted for him, even some of those swing voters, like that Muslim professor, liberal Muslim professor that voted for Trump, this is stuff that she's going to like. You know, she wants a better economy. She probably doesn't like the fact that we're in debt over our ears and that the debt went up, you know, 125% under Obama. Doesn't like that. So the people that normally would not have voted Republican, the people that handed the election to Trump, these are things that they're liking. They want to see government made accountable. And no one in government, least not our intelligence community, is above accountability. In fact, that's a really unique American concept, isn't it? No one's above the law. Even Nixon, right? President of the United States, not above the law. Maybe Hillary Clinton. I don't know. I was a little confused for a while there. But look, so all the media and everybody's shouting about how Trump wants to dismantle our spies, let Putin in, you know, Trojan horse right into the heart of America. And you start to look through this, and I always want to separate the rhetoric, the tweets to Trump. I used a little bit of French there for John Wolfe, but look, you want to separate the rhetoric from action. And let me give you a great example of that. Who has Trump picked to lead his intelligence efforts? The two most important picks in this category. Let me find it here. So you've got, right, well, you got General Mike Flynn. And he, by the way, he's a hawk. I mean, this is a guy who got booted from the DIA. So he was actually working in the Obama administration in the Defense Intelligence Agency as the director. And he got booted because he was the guy ringing alarm bells about ISIS and about radical Islamic terrorism. And everybody was telling him, you're crazy. They said that, you know, when he talked about stuff, that he was using his own facts. They called them Flynn facts. That's a fun fact for you. Flynn facts. They just dismissed him. And finally, he had enough, whatever. He got fired or he quit. So you got him. And he's certainly no rollover for Putin or rollover for anybody guy. And then you've got Mike. What is this? Well, it's Pompeo. If you're from Nacogdoches, Texas, it's Pompeo. But anyway, so this guy... This guy, he's a congressman, he's a representative right now, born in Orange County. That's right, straight from Orange, California, went to Harvard, Harvard Law, okay, was editor of the Harvard Law Review, which, this means something if you're a lawyer. It's basically that gig, the Law Review position, editor, that is goes to usually some of the brightest people in your class. I was never the editor or in any way, shape, or form on Law Review. I'll tell you that. Okay. But so he's a smart dude, and he is like, he's a huge supporter of the NSA. He doesn't like Snowden. He wants to eliminate all the post-Snowden reforms. You know, and the media, you know, all they're focusing on this guy is that he's for torture. He's, you know, he's supposedly anti-Muslim, you know, Islamic terror, Iran. But nobody's talking about is that he's actually a hardliner. He's not a guy that wants to weaken our defense capabilities. He's not a guy that wants to weaken our intelligence gathering capability. Far from it. And this is the guy that Trump has suggested to lead the CIA. So please, please differentiate and separate the rhetoric from reality. It's important. All right. When we come back, I want to talk about this video, this disturbing beating video that came out in Illinois and what this means for our country. It's disturbing. Back after this, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
This is Sweet James Bergener. I listen to Sam Nation.
Talk Radio,
790 KABC. Well, Apple is facing another lawsuit, and this time from a couple whose 5-year-old daughter was killed in a car crash where the SUV that smashed into their car was being driven by a driver who was on a FaceTime call. Did you hear about this? He was on FaceTime, which is the application that lets you video, you know, place video calls to other people with iPhones. You probably use it yourself. Have you done that, by the way? Have you ever FaceTimed when you're driving? Don't do it. It's dumb, okay? But here's the idea. The lawsuit basically says, the theory behind it is that if Apple hasn't disabled this feature when the phone is moving at a rate that would be faster than the speed of walking, so that people who are driving cars, you know, shouldn't be able to do this. The phone can tell, by the way, when it's moving quickly, you know. But the problem here, and this is what it all comes down to, is I don't think Apple can design this feature in a way that separates, that makes a difference between somebody who's driving in a, traveling in a car as a passenger or as a driver. They're not going to block the feature in a way that, you know, prevents passengers from using it. That would make their product less competitive. So I think this is a case, I think this is going to get tossed out. I don't think Apple really has much to worry about. But I will tell you that distracted driving, even with all these new laws that we have in California, it is a killer on the roads. And, you know, I was talking to Sweet James about this. More and more cases now coming through, unfortunately, to the firm where we, you know, we've got people who are getting grievously injured by people texting, people calling on their phones, people doing Instagram posts, reading social media, you know, live, you know, Facebook Live. All that nonsense. So it's real out there. And look, if you or a loved one, you get hurt and by some idiot who's playing Mahjong on their iPhone, well, you got to call Sweet James because he's the lawyer we trust here to get things done. Don't talk to the insurance company on your own. And don't go with one of these lawyers who's got a jingle, who's out of town, you know, carpetbagging into the state. Sweet James is a local guy. He's our guy. He's a proud member of the Sam Nation. So, he's the guy to call. 1-800-881-2021. 1-800-881-2021. Or visit sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rojofsky here. You know, speaking of Facebook Live, did you hear about this? Today, the news broke out of Chicago that basically they found a guy who's wandering on the street with some terrible injuries, taken to the hospital, and within a few hours, up pops a video that was on Facebook Live, and apparently this poor guy had been tortured by three black teenagers. The victim was white, and in the video, he is taunted with racial epithets and about voting for Trump. So here, we got a little snippet of it, and it's heavily edited, but just to give you an idea of the agony of what was happening, you've been warned, it's not pleasant to listen to. Roll the tape.
Yes, rabbit ass nigga. Fuck, cut his mouth.
Oh, jeez, boy.
Damn, you cut it.
I put a whole patch out of this boy.
Why you do that?
Ain't no blood on the blade, the
That was you get.
Donald Trump.
All right, so you get, now look, so they're asking him to say F Donald Trump. They're telling him, you know, they're telling him to say F white people, all this stuff. All right. And all the while, they're cutting chunks out of his skin and out of his scalp. Now here's, you know, we're going to talk about this more in the days to come because the story really has to do with how this is being treated in the media. And I'm watching again Anderson Cooper, and he's got this. He's talking about it, and they're actually trying to determine seriously if this has anything to do with race.
Now, I mean, they're talking about Donald Trump. They're saying, it seems like there's, in their words, some sort of a racial dimension to all this.
You know, it really does sound like that, Anderson. We asked the police about that. And of course, the obvious question is this a hate crime? Is this somehow related to politics and all the tensions post the election? And police say that at this point, they're still investigating, but they do believe, they tell me, that this is more related to this young man's mental health challenge. Now, you saw in that video, he's white. The offenders you saw in that video are black. So it definitely raises all of these questions. But at this point, they still say they are still investigating motive.
This brought to you, by the way, that was Rosa Flores talking on Anderson Cooper. This brought to you by the people that can have a guy from the Middle East run into a bar, kill 39 people, yell Allahu Akbar, and they still have to spend a week to determine whether it was Islamic terror. All right, back after this, more on this. I've got a few more thoughts. Bear with me. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Mayor Garcetti, you can kiss my Sam Nation A, you know what.
Talk Radio, Talk Radio,
790 KABC.
Sam Rejofsky here, Sam Nation, live from Orange County. Wednesday night, we're chewing through this week. Even though it's short, it feels long, doesn't it? And here, we pride ourselves on providing you, you know, if you, you know, you might be exposed, right, to liberal media bias, crazy things. Well, you know, the Washington Post and CNN, MSNBC. But here we provide post-exposure prophylaxis, so we're going to keep you safe, even if you did not take the proper preventative measures at the time of exposure. Good. Speaking of which, I played that clip of CNN with its head up its rear. There's a Rosa Flores there with some, you know, some kind of a left-wing apologist who's talking about how, well, we don't know. I mean, yes, the clip, right? The clip with the three teenagers who are beating up the kid who's screaming and they're cutting chunks out of him. And it's all over the internet today. Apparently, the police captured, they found the teens. They've made arrests. There have no charges been filed as of right now, but anticipate some movement on this tomorrow, I'm sure. And what does CNN do? Well, they've got a tape. The tape, by the way, that they're playing for you and me is heavily edited because you can't really, every other word is a terrible word that can't be aired. So it takes away a lot of the meaning. But I've listened to the tape. It's on the internet without any of the edits. And it's F-U-F, it's all about race, right? You white boy, you say it's all about Trump, you know, say F Trump. You got to say it or I'm going to cut you. All right? And CNN, on their main programming, right, their 5 o'clock programming, Anderson Cooper, they're sitting there, and Rosa Flores is scratching her head saying, I don't know if it's race. I don't know. Geez, maybe it isn't. Maybe it has to do with the fact that they picked on a disabled kid, because it appears to be that this the victim is it has some mental impairment. So, all right. I think it comes down to this. Racism in America is only racism against minorities. It's not racism against whites. This is how the liberals see it. And it's wrong if we want to. Look, if we want to move to a true post-racial society, which is what everybody hoped for, that the era of Obama would finally put to bed all the bugaboos, all the racism in society, would bury everything. We'd all sing Kumbaya and dance around a natural gas burning fire. Eating tofu nuggets, I guess, was part of the vision. It hasn't happened. And it hasn't happened because we make excuses. We make excuses for racist motivation on the parts of minorities against whites, but we quickly condemn the reverse, and appropriately so. But it all ties into one of Trump's nominees, and this for attorney general. And I mean none other than Senator Jeff Sessions. Pardon me. Now, Sessions is a great, now the left is preoccupied with him. Very much so. In fact, you know, we just saw the NAACP stage a sit-in at his Alabama constituency. Now, what is this all about? Jeff Sessions, I think 20 years ago, was appointed but not confirmed to be a federal judge, not a Supreme Court judge, but appointed to sit on the federal bench, presumably at some district or circuit level, and I don't remember which it was. But his confirmation hearings took place, and Senator Kennedy, you remember Ted Kennedy, Chappaquiddick Ted. Glug, 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 glug. Anyway, that guy, bozo extraordinaire. So anyway, and liberal scion, lion, you know, the guy who everybody thought was the greatest thing, especially if they had a big D behind their names. So that guy was grilling him left and right. And the whole thing had to do with what? Some supposedly racial comments that Sessions had made to somebody that were unsubstantiated, unfounded, you know, the usual BS. And the thing that I think is most important is Sessions had a history of supporting civil rights. And he wasn't like Strom Thurmond, who filibustered, filibustered civil rights act. This was a guy. This was revolutionary. He was a Republican white senator, politician from the South, who had spoken out for civil rights on behalf of blacks in the South. And yet, when it came to his confirmation, what did the Democrats care about? They cared about his words, not his actions. Now, I'm telling you, we have to abandon this double standard when it comes to racial animus, when it comes to discrimination. We have to focus on actions. We've got to get over these words. Because just like this crazy story out of Oregon, where you have this professor, this law professor, who decides to go to a party with a few students. She puts on blackface, you know, she smears her face with some black coloring, to go in costume as a author of a book that she loves and admires, right? She's going there as an embodiment of someone that she admires. She gets slammed and thrown under the bus by her law school and sanctioned for her misconduct. Nothing to do with her actions, everything to do with her words. We got to get beyond this. We got to just chill out and stick with what we're doing. Not just what we're saying. And that's this video, right? Look at those actions. All right. We'll be back on Friday. We'll see you then. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
King to cover, who scores?
The home of Kings Hockey.
KABC, Los Angeles,
Orange County,
a Cumulus station.